Hi, friends. Hi, guys. How are you guys? It's Nicole. Woo, we're coming together on a little bit of a difficult day. I don't know how this day finds you, but I just want to bring connection to the fact that our country and our society is in a trying time. And I just feel so grateful for all the acts of kindness and all the love that I have personally been receiving on Instagram via direct message and seeing the love being shared on my Journal Speak community. Because although we are in an incredibly trying time with the amount of racial injustice and the amount of, you know, coming out of the pandemic, both health-wise and economy-wise, I just know that there's beautiful humanity out there and so many people that are going out of their way to unite and connect. And I just want to really tell you how much I appreciate that and how I hope you guys can continue to do that for yourselves and one another. So today on the pod, I am bringing you a really incredible real-time heal. I so enjoyed talking to Clara. She is a wonderful soul, a beautiful young woman, only in her late 20s. So lucky to have found this work so young. And had a really scary intro to it in terms of her diagnosis, very, very young, of trigeminal neuralgia, which is like a very painful, very serious condition in terms of the fear that it elicits. And her journey to come to this work and the way it has been helping and affecting her. And it's my privilege to help her bridge the gap between the work that she had been doing and the effect it had been having, and how I hope and know that she will be able to be completely chronic pain free. I think that it's really not spoken about enough how it feels to be a very sensitive child. And even when our parents love us and try their very best to connect with us and to give us what we need, sometimes there's not a perfect match between parent and child. And sometimes our sensitivity and our vigilance and our ability to notice everything and to feel so much in this world leaves us feeling really alone. And so So we discuss a lot of that today and how she has come to a lot of understanding about herself and about what she needs to go forward, especially after this conversation. So I'm very excited to share that with you. On the home front, I am preparing final preparation for my weekend retreat with all of my Omega instructors, and that is this weekend. So on the day this podcast drops, it will be this evening that it begins. So if any of you guys out there are listening, I'm so excited to spend the weekend with you. And to the many of you who have reached out and asked to know about the next one, I do not have the next one planned yet, but I promise you that if you're interested and you've reached out to me, I've put you on the wait list. And if you are out there interested now in coming to my next weekend virtual retreat, which I have not yet planned, but I certainly will in the future, please write to me at thecureforchronicpain@gmail.com. And in the subject line, please put waitlist. And I will know that you're a person who wants to know about my upcoming retreats, both my mini retreats and the next big weekend one I plan, which will probably be in the fall. Other than that, I just want you to know that I do appreciate all the emails I've been getting about how to support my work. And if you're interested in donating to my work to help me get this message out to the global community, I'm trying so hard every day. There is a donate button on the homepage of my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. I so appreciate your donations. And also, if you are interested in learning more about my work and this has sparked some interest in you, either this podcast or any other you've listened to, go to thecureforchronicpain.com. I have a resources page which has everything you need to know. Much of it is free in order to get yourself started with this work. Okay. Well, finally, I just want to say that if you're enjoying this podcast, it means so much to go rate and review it. Please hop over to iTunes and rate and review this podcast. When you do so, it helps people like Clara find it. And that is indeed the way she found it. All right, guys, sending you big love. Enjoy my interview, my Real Time Heal with Clara. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Real Time Heal. Today I have Clara here, and Clara wrote to me back in October, so I don't have any idea how she's doing now, but we're going to see. Welcome, Clara.
Hey, thanks for having me, Nicole.
So we're going to do this as we always do, totally unscripted, totally unprepared. I'm going to pretend you just walked into my office and we're sitting down and I'm going to say, what brings you here today? Tell me your story and let's see how I can help you.
Yeah, sure. So I'll just go back and start at the beginning because I think that's probably important. And for me, this really kind of all started in my childhood when I get to looking back, and I just had so much anxiety as a child, and weirdly enough, it was triggered, and this sounds strange, but somebody threw up in my Sunday school class one time, and that just flipped a switch in me. I don't know what it was, but I just got so anxious after that and was anxious just all the time, I feel like, that I can remember. And just totally was always coming to my mom every night. I'm like, we need to talk about my feelings. I have so many big feelings that just totally overwhelmed me. And I just kind of relied on her to always tell me that, you know, it would be okay. And, you know, she really did the best that she could. But she couldn't really help me process all of my big feelings all the time. And I feel like that is truly when I started to just outsource myself. You know, I felt like I couldn't trust myself, and just got all my feedback from other people, you know, and I felt like I always had to be perfect in school, making grades, sports, everything, just totally afraid of failure and all the shame that that would bring on and that I would heap on myself. And people always told me that I was too sensitive, you know, people in my family and friends and stuff. It was like, I just had all the big feelings that, that not everybody else had. So, that was kind of where it all started. But then, when I was 22 and I'm 28 now. So when I was 22, I got my wisdom teeth taken out, which, you know, normal kind of routine thing, and all went well. And then about 3 months later, I just kind of started to feel this, you know, numbness or burning sensation, like in my temple area, right side of my face, all right sided. And I kind of thought, that's weird, you know, and just thought it would go away. And it never really did. It just kind of progressively got worse. And I'm like, what is this? You know, nobody has facial pain. Like, this is so strange. And, so first thing I did, you know, of course, you just start going to doctors, I feel
right,
like.
Of course.
And so, yeah. So I went to, you know, just my general practitioner. And right off the gate, you know, he's like, I think I know what you have. You have trigeminal neuralgia. And I'm like, I'm 22. I'm like, what's that? You know, so just throws some sort of prescription at me. And I'm not one to really just, you know, take things without reading about them or whatnot. So I start reading up on what he has told me that I have, and I'm totally horrified at the prognosis of this and, you know, how nobody can really do anything about it. And so I'm so scared, and, you know, everything's just getting worse. It's like, it's really turning into migraines. I have a lot of neck pain, and but I just was like, I've got to try some other things. I can't just accept that this is what I have, you know. And so then I went to a dentist. I did TMJ treatment, you know, all these things that cost so much money. I went to the chiropractor, myofascial release, Botox. I mean, it was just such a journey, and nothing ever helped, you know?
Yeah.
And even traveled to other places. I mean, I live in Mississippi. I went to a dentist in Ohio to get some injections at one point. And at that point, you know, I was so desperate, and I had hope, but you know, could never really get my hopes up too high because I just felt like I would be let down again. And the last thing I did, and this was early in 2019, I went to a doctor in Chicago. He was also a dentist, and he did some work on my bite and muscles and things. But he was the first person who really asked about my emotions around all of this. Obviously, he's not like a TMS person, but we kind of got into that. And I was so guarded even with doctors, you know, because I felt so much shame about this pain too. Like, I'm thinking, I'm so young, you know, all my friends are just out there living their lives and moving forward. And I felt so trapped, like, because I have this facial pain and, you know, I don't want to miss work because of it. I don't want to tell anybody. And anyway, so he was the first person to ask me about that. And I'll never forget, he was like, have you ever thought about committing suicide? And I just broke into tears. I mean, like just weeping, because I really had not, but it was like somebody finally was realizing how desperate I felt.
Yeah. Someone was acknowledging the seriousness of how this was for you.
Right. Right. Which yeah. I had not had before. So anyways, he helped me with that. But one day when I'm back at home, I happen to be cleaning my house and, you know, just wanted something to distract me while I'm doing it. You know, my face is burning. And so I go onto podcast, search chronic pain, and your podcast came up. And so I'm scrolling through them and I happened to hit, you know, and of course it catches your eye, your title of the most serious case I've ever had or whatever, which happens to be, Olivia's story.
Yes.
And so I read the description and I was just like, got chills.
I literally have chills. I have to tell you, I've chilled right now because I spend so much time sort of like trying to be out there and tell people about the work, and the fact that you just searched it and found it and that you landed on that, to me, that feels like spiritual. That's like amazing.
It does. And I have chills now too. And it really, it just felt like fate and everything aligning that should, you know? And, so yeah, from there, I got Dr. Sarno's book. I read The Mind-Body Prescription, which can be a little hard to get through since it's more like medical, but I did finish that. And then of course read your book, and I feel like I literally just highlighted the whole thing because it just, it just summed up so, so perfectly, you know, how I felt throughout my whole life. And now looking back, I recognize kind of all these other episodes of things that, you know, I would say are TMS, like, you know, food sensitivities or pelvic pain or things like that. But yeah, I mean, I just feel like the wisdom tooth surgery was like a perfect trigger. And I just have been living my life kind of in an unconscious self and just like in this survival mode, self-betrayal and, you know, filled with so much insecurity and shame and whatnot. And, anyway, so after I read your books, started the Journal Speak last fall, I would say, and probably was not as consistent with it as I need to be, or as I am now, because now I really know how important it is to do it, you know, every day, but that resistance is a hard thing. So yeah, I did it last fall, probably got 80% better, I would say.
That's like pretty amazing though, just to be able to say that out loud.
Yes, it's huge. It's huge. And I remember I commented on your Facebook at one point because I got that symptom imperative of anxiety. I mean, it was like the pain was totally gone, but I was having like panic attacks. Like I had never even had before, you know,
totally
I mean,
normal, totally normal.
So, yeah. And so people reassured me on there. So that was good. But, yeah, so I would say now, so then I kind of slacked off, you know, and, there was still, I was feeling a lot better, like say early this year. I would still have triggers, like, you know, if I was traveling for work and getting stressed or things like that, that I would get migraines or whatnot. But I guess I kind of just felt like this is probably as good as it's going to get. And when you've been in so much pain for so long, you're like, "Ooh, this is a relief," you know?
Right, right.
And I feel like now it's creeping back on a little bit more. And I just want it, you know, I want it to be gone for good. And I need to know that I can get there, you know, and that's my goal now.
Okay. So, in terms, I have so much to say, I'm trying to like figure out the order and the order of importance.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first thing I want to ask is, if I were to ask you to give me a snapshot of today, just so I feel totally updated, what would you say your pain levels are? How much would you say it rules your life? Where are your fear levels? And what is your journal speak practice and meditation practice like? Just give me a snapshot of today.
Yeah. So today, I would say my pain now is more of a nuisance. So it's not something that is taking me out of everyday life necessarily like it used to. I mean, there was a point where, you know, I would have to miss work and things like that. Now it's just, you know, it's like, it's this nagging, like burning tightness, you know, that's kind of constantly there. And it's just always distracting you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep. Mm-hmm.
That was how I always tried to describe it to doctors and whatnot. It's like, you know, normally you're not always thinking about the right side of your face and your body. And it's like, I'm always kind of thinking about it. I would say my fear levels are probably a big problem. I feel like they're kind of off the charts, because I think that's part of this problem too, is like, I can just be afraid of life. Because it can hurt, you know? And so I think I walk around in a lot of fear for sure. But I have been doing the journal speak every day for 20 minutes. I don't always get to the meditation. The meditation is something that is even harder for me than the journal speak, I think, because it does make me feel so uncomfortable right now. Like, and my mind is just constantly trying to go elsewhere and just spinning.
Yes, I understand. Okay. My next question is, if you say you live in pretty constant fear, if you can just kind of press your pause for a moment and ask into that 5-year-old space, so as uncomplicated as possible, what are you afraid of?
I think I'm afraid of being a failure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you want to know something funny?
Yeah.
Obviously, this is a hoot, right? It's also funny.
Right.
here's what's funny. While you were talking, when you were saying, when I was asking for the check-in and you were talking about your pain being a nuisance, what popped into my mind is, well, your pain keeps reminding you what a failure you are.
Yeah.
And that is so exactly how I feel anytime I let myself get irritated by whatever symptom is flowing through me. I get a lot of symptoms that people have, like in terms of, you know, if somebody is complaining to me about something, whether it's online or, you know, if I'm doing some sort of a corporate consult or all the ways I work, I'll get it, you know, sometimes for like 5 minutes, sometimes for a day, I'll just get like a sensation. And what the first thing will come up is, it's reminding me what a failure I am, which is hilarious, because immediately I go, okay, thanks for sharing. Because
yeah.
I know how I'm built. And so anyway, I am fully prepared to help you.
Good.
Okay. First of all, and I know I say this all the time, but I only say it when I'm 100% sure of it. You are as good as done. You are going to be 100% fine. There's things you need to do, and they're going to be very hard things. They are not action items. They're giving up items, but we'll get to that. But you are already well. There is no doubt in my mind. You need to heal, but you're already well. There's nothing physically wrong with you. The only thing that is physically wrong with you is your DNA. So now we're going to go all the way back to the beginning.
Okay.
We each are born with a nature. There are mysteries of life and of death and of existence that no human being has ever been able to uncover. And one of them is, what is the nature of our soul? You know, we are born sensitive, or we are born aware, or we're born vigilant, or we're born empathic. There's just no way. And any parent will tell you who has more than one child, it is not all about nurture. Yes, nurture is important, but for the most part, nurture is important for what we damage our kids with. And I'm going to explain this, but it's like, if you have a holding space of love, everything, in my opinion, that children become is based on their nature. What nurture can do is it can destroy, because it can create so much adversity with abuse and neglect and denial of being able to be felt and heard, that kids need to put in their most primitive defense mechanisms. And that, of course, can shape a life. But in terms of our nature, people carry such shame for their basic nature. So the first thing we need to do for you is we need to go all the way back to the beginning, and we need to practice acceptance around the fact that you are clearly a very intelligent, very aware, very vigilant, naturally anxious person. Can we accept that?
Yeah, I mean, and that's going to be hard, but I mean, you're right. I totally get what you're saying. It's like, it just is what is, and that's okay. Like, but I have created the shame around it.
So you haven't created the shame. Even that sentence is a shameful sentence. But I hear what you're saying. The shame is a natural byproduct of us not understanding the level of acceptance we need to practice for our nature. We are so, God, I mean, it's such a ubiquitous problem. It is a human problem that we blame and shame ourselves for how we don't fit into whatever box we decide is the ideal box. And that's the first part of this conversation, which is how old were you when the kid threw up in Sunday school?
Probably 5 or 6. I can't remember exactly, but pretty young.
Okay. So for, let's just say for 5 years, which for a kid is really long time, you were trying to make sense of these signals you were getting from your consciousness that you weren't okay. I don't even think you probably could have explained to yourself what you were feeling. You just didn't feel okay. You felt too much. You felt too anxious. There were too many feelings. It was too much. And at 5 years old or 6 years old, after trying to make sense of this and suppress as much as you could to survive, something happened that broke you open. It gave you a reason to be scared. It could have been anything. It just happened to be that.
Right.
You needed so badly a diversion from how big your feelings were and how impossible they felt to feel. And this is all your nature, because nothing – by the age of 5, there's not no amount of input that could have taught you to be that way. That is your nature.
Right.
And so you were waiting with desperation for relief from being alone with yourself. And we need a reason to ask for help. And so this child threw up. It's a jarring thing. It's a disgusting thing. It's a frightening thing, because it comes from nowhere and it disrupts the whole environment. I'm sure if you went back to that day, that really disrupted the class, right?
Totally.
Can you tell me a little bit about that day?
You know, I don't have the best memory of it, but what I do remember is, you know, like it happening. I remember seeing it. I remember, you know, people cleaning it up. And like, I think I just remember being filled with fear, you know. And after that, I just told my parents, I'm like, I'm not going back. Like, I couldn't even walk in the room anymore.
And did they allow you to not go back?
They didn't make me go back.
So, okay. So like, let's really look at this from the purpose of the nervous system and protecting you. Your feelings are too big to handle. An event happens that makes you feel scared. And in their best parenting, you know, this is not their fault, they allowed your fear to win.
Yeah.
You never had to confront the fact that that wasn't the reason that you were scared. The real reason you were scared, it existed within yourself, which is the answer, by the way, that it's true for all of us. The reason we have TMS is we're making things about external things. Even pain is an external thing, because it feels like it's happening to us. Whereas we don't understand that it's the looking at who we are, not what's happening to us. is the answer, is the key out of all this misery. And so little kids don't know that. And so that happened. It was a frightening event, and you were then protected from it. And so, okay, so the side effect that is not bad about that is you started to ask for help. You started to tell your mom, I need you to help me be with my big feelings. But the problem there is nobody can be with us enough. Doesn't it feel that way?
It does feel that way.
So how did that manifest for you and your mom? Did you feel like it was a contentious relationship? Did you feel just powerless to be helped? Like, how did that kind of become in your life?
Yeah, it was not contentious. I mean, she was so patient with me. I mean, probably every night I would be like, I need to talk about my worries, you know, or anytime that I had fears or anything, she was totally open to listening to me. And I never remember her shutting me down or anything. But I just think she doesn't feel like that, you know, nor does anybody in my family, just different natures, like you're saying. So I don't think she really knew how to help me. I mean, she gave me a listening ear, but we were never, she couldn't teach me to process those on my own. You know, I was relying on her to tell me that everything would be okay, which really did not comfort me, but that was the only answer I knew to have, was her answer.
Okay. So here's what's coming up for me. You felt alone.
Yeah.
That is huge. Because see, it's funny. I find this a lot when I'm hearing about people's childhoods. Oftentimes a loving, empathic parent can make the child feel worse because they feel so alone in it. Like everybody else is okay but me.
Yeah. And I think that's what's been so hard for me too, that I've been working through journaling, as well as I'm like, I feel like I had a good childhood and an empathic parent. Like, how could I feel alone or abandoned? But that makes sense, what you're saying.
So, okay. So I think what we need to do right now is we need to take blame and excise it from this whole situation, because there's two levels of blame that are hurting you. The first level of blame is you feel ashamed of your pain. You feel, you blame yourself for your pain. Do you understand that?
Yes, that hits home for me.
Okay, so that's the first thing we need to excise. We need to be surgeons right now. And for the moment, we don't have to throw it out, but we need to make a delineation between your experience and blaming yourself for it. It's not going to land immediately as truth for you, but, you know, truth takes time. You're a dry plant. Have you ever heard me call someone a dry plant?
I don't think so.
Okay. You're a dry plant, which means that you are not dead. You are a beautiful house plant in a large pot, but you're very dry. And I noticed that you're dry, so I'm pouring 3 gallons of water on you. And about a gallon's going to seep in, and 2 of those gallons are going to go over the side, because there's only so much that you can take in one sitting. Okay, yeah. That's all of us. All of us when we're in our states of being a dry plant, which we're all a dry plant at certain points of the day. So for this, you're a dry plant. So we're gonna talk about it, but I don't want you to expect anything of yourself. I don't want you to expect yourself to get it. I don't want you to expect yourself to be out of pain because of it yet. Right now, I'm giving you information. Okay. Which is we're going to be surgeons with our little scalpels, and we're taking blame and shame out of the situation. You were born with a certain nature. There was no other way, Clara, that this was ever going to go for you. And you need to understand that. You're so young. It's so brilliant that it's happening to you this young, and you have a whole life. You are going to be so free. You're going to be so amazing. You don't even know yet, because you're going to get this now, which is, this is the way it had to go for you. It was never going to go any other way. If it didn't manifest as your face, it would have been your back or your knee or your stomach or your pelvic pain. I have been doing this work for over 20 years, and I'm going to tell you straight up, this is the way it was going to go for you. It is not your fault. It is not anything to be ashamed of. It is exactly what is, because a person with your level of experience for feelings, your level of input ability, without the possibility of rejecting those feelings, was going to have it manifest somewhere, because sometimes we feel things in our hearts and sometimes we feel things in our bodies, and they're literally interchangeable. And if your heart has so much input coming into it that it doesn't have the capacity to feel it all, without the knowledge of that, it has to come out through your body. It's just the way it is. But because you have knowledge of it now, and we're going to work through this and set your mindset in the right way, you aren't going to have to continue to manifest that. So just take that for whatever you can make sense of it at the moment, and just, we can put it on the side burner. But do you at least have a sense of where I'm going with this?
Yeah, so much. And I mean, honestly, all that just totally made me cry, because I so get that. And I do feel like this is how it was supposed to go for me. And now I'm just, you know, I'm trying to find a way to be glad about it too, just because I feel like I'm finally getting, you know, my real life back, or getting it for the first time.
Yeah. It's so strikingly beautiful. I know it doesn't seem like it yet, but I guess when in your emotion, in the tears that you're allowing to rise, you see, you get a sense that it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's the first. So we're going to take that little surgery we just did, and we're going to excise the shame and the blame about how it went for you. All of it. Your fear of the vomiting, your anxiety that ensued, your trying to reach out to your mom, and in her very, very best loving mothering, her trying to be there for you, but in that being there for you. Okay, so now we're going to move to the second thing. In that being there for you, she actually made you feel more alone. There's no way it could have gone any differently than that. So the next piece of shame and blame that we're going to take our scalpel and excise out is your feeling that you don't have a right to your pain because you had a happy childhood. A happy childhood has something to do with pain. As I said earlier in the session, the nurture part of raising children can steal from children. If you had an unhappy childhood, if you had an abusive childhood, we'd be talking about that, because it would be so huge that that would be the issue. But I think that we need to redefine what it means to have a happy childhood, because we shame ourselves for not feeling completely satisfied with life because the people in our lives did the best they could. But the problem there is that we're not considering that there's sometimes a mismatch between our nature and the nature of the people that raised us. So even if they're doing the best they can, what your mom couldn't do is feel your exact pain. Now, if she could have, it could have still caused a problem, because then you might have over-identified with her, right? Like, there's never a perfect solution here.
Right, which is, it's just crazy, because you feel like, I don't know, that you would be, you know, more matched up with your family or your parents just because they gave birth to you. But I guess that's not necessarily true.
Well, not only is it not true, it could have caused you worse problems. Like, there's no perfection here. It is right. So important for us to all realize, like, there's no such thing as a quote unquote, the way it's defined in our fairy tales, happy childhood, because it's too complicated. It's too complicated to label anything like that, because it's all about feeling heard and safe and at peace and content. It's not possible. It's human growth. We're going to keep butting up against things that allow us to grow, and it's just the only way it could have gone for you. So the first, so really all roads lead to surrender, because surrender is the most beautiful place for healing, which is what I want for you, Clara. And so what we're going to do in excising the shame and blame from both the way you see your childhood and the way you view your pain is we're bringing you to a place, at least in this one category, of total surrender, because there's no way that it could have gone any differently than this. Your mom couldn't have done anything differently, and you couldn't have done anything differently. Your pain is perfection. Oh my God, how perfect that it chose something that the first doctor that saw you said, well, basically you're screwed for life, and this is never going to go away. Like, what a safe space for the nervous system to keep you in, so you never have to deal with a nature that you're never getting out from under, which is you feel things big, and you try to fix them by being perfect.
Yep, exactly.
it's just never going to change. And that is beautiful because now we can work with what is. Now we don't have to continue to use all of your resources to fight what will never change, which is that's how you are and that's how you, the first line of defense, deal with it. You know, like your reflex is to deal with it by, I bet you like to be in a lot of control. Would that be true?
Oh, for sure.
So talk to me about control in your life. How does that keep you safe?
I just find myself, you know, all the time I feel like just controlling situations. You know, I'm trying to control things that at the end of the day, when I, you know, write it out, it's like, you know, that it's not even possible. Like, I'm trying to control other people's perceptions of me. And I'm trying to control, you know, people's reactions, their behaviors. Of course, I'm tightly controlling my behaviors, you know, what I speak, what I do, you know, don't want to rock the boat. It's just, I mean, it's constant control, but it's veiled, you know, but I think I try to control so much because the truth is that life does hurt and it's hard. And I feel like the control like makes me feel, you know, it gives me a false sense of security and safety. And, you know, I want to just live my life and let it play out, but that's where the fear part comes into, because I'm so scared, you know, for what could happen in life if I'm not controlling everything.
Yes. Because, okay, so if we're going to really just break it down to the most basic thing. So I'm sure you've heard me say life is a choice between what hurts and what hurts worse, right?
Yes. And I love that.
Okay. So we're going to get out our two scales. I want you to picture them in front of you. And on one scale is your very nature, which you could never take off, which feels things incredibly deeply. And even when you were little with the most loving mom on the planet, nobody could help you. You're a hopeless case that no one will ever understand, that is totally, absolutely alone in the world, that will never be seen, right? Can you feel the pain of that scale?
Yes.
So the other scale of being a complete lunatic who wants to control everything, even though that feels like sort of a miserable life for you, can you see how the nervous system would look at those two scales and say, all right, fine, I know she's super stressed and anxious, but nothing's worse than that other one?
Yeah, that's right. I can totally see that. Yes.
Okay. And now we're going to bring into the fact that the nervous system is a very basic, primitive system. It will always choose the less painful option, even if it hurts. So what we need to do, very simply, which is why I'm certain that you're going to be fine, is we need to start looking at that, at this dark, ugly, viscous, cancerous first scale. Because as soon as we can unmask it, as soon as we can wrap our arms around it and love it and appreciate it and say, of course you've been protecting me, first with pain and now with anxiety and panic over control, because you just didn't want me to have to sit with that. But now that I'm really looking at that, that's all a ruse anyway, because I'm just a sensitive, sweet baby that was born into this world with that mysterious sensitivity that we will never understand. And I had this mommy who tried her very best, but she just wasn't me. And so there was no way she could ever have made me feel less alone. So that happened. There's no other way it could have gone. As soon as you get there, now you're a dry plant, so don't expect to get there today.
Yeah.
But as soon as you get there with your patient witnessing, and we're going to talk about meditation in a second, young lady.
Okay.
But with your patient witnessing of the ugliest, dirtiest, yuckiest scale that your nervous system is trying to protect you from, I promise you, your need to control is just going to be less and less. You're just going to wake up and one day something that you felt like you would die if it didn't happen the way you needed it to happen, you might still want it to happen that way, but you're going to go, whatever, all right, I can't. Like, that kind of attitude is amazing, because then you stop having this urgency, like everything's going to crumble if X doesn't happen. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I mean, that sounds like a wonderful way to feel.
You know, what I hear a lot from people is I just want it to stop. And what I think is really important in terms of managing your expectations is this is never going to stop because it's who you are. But what it becomes is you become fully integrated. You become a whole person. So I'll talk about myself for a moment. A lot of times it's easier to hear about someone else than it is to hear about yourself because you're so triggered by yourself.
Right.
So you and I are basically the same person. I'm so sorry for you because I know exactly how you feel. I have been phobic of vomiting my entire life.
Wow.
Because my entire life, still am. I mean, I'm less, I'll explain the less part. Because some kid, God, I would say his whole name, but like in the very strange, we always called him by his whole name. I'm not going to say. His name was Michael. He threw up in my third grade class, and it was the most like traumatic thing. And I'm also a control freak, all the things. I just, we're the same person.
Yeah.
So I get it. And what I have understood is sort of very similar, which is like everything's always affected me hugely. And I had some trauma in my childhood and all the reasons. But when I'm talking about the concept of it never being different and that being a relief, I'm still all those things. But I've gotten to the point where it doesn't ache anymore for me not to be able to control things, but I still don't like it. And that's the problem with life is there's no such thing as I just want this to be over. And I need you to embrace that at the front end so it doesn't come smacking you in the face later on, which is, honey, you're always going to be this way, you know,
yeah,
for this lifetime. I don't know who you're coming back as next time. Maybe you'll be, maybe you'll be Blue Dog and he's just so chill. So
yeah.
Like, I hope for your sake, you come back as like a large low-key poodle living in a happy family.
Right.
But for this run, you're going to be this way. But I will promise you two things if you just follow on the path that I'm setting out for you. The first I promise is you won't be in chronic pain. Chronic pain will no longer, nor and chronic anxiety, it will no longer be a problem for you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to guarantee that that's going to happen for you because I know you can do this.
Yeah.
But you're always going to think things are less than how you want them to be. And your first reaction is always going to be to judge yourself and to take a harder look at yourself than feels good. And your first reaction to situations is that you're alone and no one could ever feel the pain. Okay. Like, I'm sorry.
Yep. But no, that's it.
Yep. Right. This is your life sentence, but it's not that bad. Because as soon as we can embrace the wholeness of who we are, we become integrated. And when we become integrated, it's just like, whatever, it sucks, but like, what am I going to do? You know, like, and that's the surrender. And the surrender brings you to moments of peace. And if you can grab more of those than you can moments of anxiety, it's been a good day.
Yeah. And I mean, all of that is, it totally hits home. I have felt some of those moments of peace already, honestly. But, you know, I just want to get more and more.
Yes. And you will. And that's where, if you can just have set that to be your goal. Sorry. So not to say in your mind, even in your most secret, naughtiest moments, I want this to be over. Just every time you feel that, say, uh-huh, yeah, there we go. That's the nervous system, right? That's that primitive little kid who thinks that things can ever be over. And then love it and say, I hear you, love. I get that you want it to be over, but we're just going to do this now. And whatever this is, have you heard me talk about the next right considered action?
A little bit. I mean, I'd love to hear you expound on it.
Okay. So here's the thing. When we try to have very big goals, we end up doing nothing. And when we try to feel better about something in any sort of desperate fashion, we end up feeling totally stuck and down. So what I say to people is, know your goals, know the end in mind of where you want to be, which we just discussed, more moments of peace, more moments of clarity, more ability to let go of that need to control, you know, the pain being gone. That's the end in mind. That's the goal. But in the moment, all we can really do is the next right considered action? What's in front of us? And so you sit down and do your journal speak. I'm sure on any given day you don't want to, but you say, nope, this is important and I'm doing this. That's a next right considered action. You finish that. Now we're getting to meditation. You said, I resist meditation because it makes me feel so uncomfortable. So I want you to tell me more about that.
I think it just feels so, it feels unnatural, and it feels maybe scary to try and sit there and just be quiet, because my mind is never quiet. It's just constantly running. And, you know, I also find myself, you know, numbing out my mind through, you know, scrolling through my phone. It's like, you know, there's always a constant distraction in our lives. Now you never really just sit by yourself quietly. So that feels so abnormal to me. And I, you know, of course the perfectionist kicks in too, and is like, you're not doing this right.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't helping. Oh, yes. Like, you know.
Okay. Okay. So I got it. So we're bringing us back to those scales. The what hurts versus what hurts worse. So the what hurts worse that we've determined, that we agree upon, is this disgusting, ugly, dark, viscous, cancerous blackness of you were born wrong, no one could help you, you're empirically alone, and life will always be that way, right?
Yes.
That scale is kicked up big time in meditation.
Oh, gosh. Because, that makes
right?
sense.
Yeah. Right? Because we are being tasked to sit with ourselves. And so here is what – so there are a couple things you need to do for – and I know that we're like rounding out toward the end of the session, so I'm going to start giving you your marching orders.
Okay.
I am telling you, honey, you're such a beautiful person. I can really feel your energy. I know you're going to be just fine, but you have to do everything I say now. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. First thing is keep up the daily journal speak practice, obviously, because you are a person that has a big reservoir, because since you feel so much and since everything affects you deeply, and because you are vigilant and intelligent, so you're paying attention a lot, you're going to need to take your ladle and put it into that reservoir once a day and dump it out.
Okay.
It's not a life sentence. You're not going to have to show up for this every day for the rest of your life. Just now, until you find more moments of peace than moments of anxiety and your pain is no longer a nuisance. And I don't think it's going to be a long road for you, to be honest, but now is you must show up for that every day.
Okay. Yes. And let me ask you a question there too. It's like, you know, sometimes I feel like I want to just write about my feelings that day. Is that okay? Or does it always need to be like, you know, the three list kind of thing?
It's totally okay. Oftentimes for journal speak, I say to people, just get quiet and ask yourself, what am I feeling most right now? And allow the feeling to rise. So it could be, I feel tired, or I feel irritable, or I feel hungry all the time, or I feel anxious, or I feel worried, whatever the feeling is. And then you just write on the top of the page, why am I so worried right now? And you sit for a moment, and then you write, I'm so worried because, and just put 20 minutes and just start writing. It will take you where you need to go.
Yeah. Okay.
You might end up back in Sunday school with that kid throwing up. And I also really encourage you to desensitize yourself to the concept of vomit. I'm going to tell you something really funny. So I am totally phobic of vomit. And you know what God gave me?
What?
Three of the most vomitous children you will ever imagine in your life, and the most vomitous dog. Blue Dog literally has a vomiting condition where if he doesn't take antacids every single day, he will throw up because of the acid in his stomach. And it has beaten the shit out of me.
I bet. I remember. I heard you talking about that on Instagram the other day, him throwing up.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's just, it's honestly hilarious. Like, it's like the universe was like, okay, well, we're going to get you over this real quick. Like, my kids got the stomach virus three times a season when they were babies.
Oh, gosh.
That'll do it. Disgusting. I had to clean. Do you know how hard it is to change a crib sheet?
No, but that's one of my fears in having children for sure is all the throw up.
Don't worry. It'll help you. Yeah, I promise it. Yeah. It'll get you straight over that. But anyway, I want you to just realize that any place you need to go, your journal speak will take you there with whatever prompt. Even if you were doing your lists, like one day you might be sitting down to do your lists and you might pick that time in fourth grade with the bully and you might end up yesterday at the grocery store, you know? Yeah. So it really doesn't matter. The reason that the lists are important is I don't want people to sidestep big things in their life and just stay in today. Like I want it to be wholesome. I want everything to be included.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's a journal speak part. Now here's why the meditation part is super key for you, because of the reason you're resisting it. We need to get at that scale. We need to expose it for what it is and love it up. We need to start looking at that part of you that you are resisting so hard and say, it was never going to happen any other way. This is beauty. This is it. This is everything. This is being Clara. This is you. And meditation is the openness to that, because you're saying, I'll sit with you, honey. I'll sit with the darkest part, the part I'm terrified to look at, because the part that I'm scared I can never change. And here's what I want to tell you about meditation that I can tell you personally.
Yeah.
I'm also a perfectionist. I'm the worst. I don't want to do anything unless I think I can do it well. And when I finally had my proverbial come to Jesus and I knew that I had to meditate, I sat in my first day and the message that came to me that was so loving and so appreciated from the universe was, the only way you can fail at this is to not show up. If you sit down until the buzzer goes off, whatever dinger you've got going on, if you can just sit there, even if you worry about your kids the whole time or make your grocery list the whole time or every time you try to breathe, you get pulled into thought, however it goes, you have succeeded. All you have to do is show up. And I have pulled on that advice and that wisdom many, many times. And I meditate every morning for 30 minutes. That is my practice. I will never not do it. It has given me more than anything has ever given me in life. I am so healed by it, but I screw it up every single day.
Yeah. I mean, that's that same sentiment is very comforting to me, you know, just show up no matter how it goes.
Yes. So you're going to do that. So you're going to do it. You're going to give me 30 minutes of your day, 20 minutes of journal speak, followed by 10 minutes of meditation, which you are going to horribly screw up every single day, both of them. And I'm going to be super psyched that you did. And the only other thing I want you to do is I want you to realize that every single thing that has happened to you has been exactly by design. There, shame in its very definition doesn't even work here, because shame requires that it could have gone a different way. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. That's kind of like a aha moment for me. It's like it couldn't have been any different. So no sense that there's shame around it.
No. And I want you to practice this kind of self-love, this self-compassionate posture. Every moment of the day, you look at your situation, whatever it could be, and say, oh God, if I was only different, or if that person was only different. And I want you to come back to, this is the only way it could have gone. It's so true. And when we sit in that kind of pure truth, we're open to peace.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that'll be so good for me, because I think a lot of the talk in my head is just with shoulds, you know, like you should be this way or you should be doing this. But when I can accept that I just am who I am and I'm doing what I need to do, then.
And that's key. When you say I'm doing what I need to do, that goes back to what I say about the next right considered action. It's too huge for us to always touch into the truth of I am who I am. But if we do what we need to do, it is such a shortcut to it. Because if you sat down that morning and did your journal speak and meditation, then 3 hours later when you're shooting all over yourself, you can say, but I did what I needed to do today. So I'm all right. I did it. Yeah. And it's going to be an anchor for you, because shame requires you to be able to hate yourself. And it's a lot harder to hate ourselves when we're doing what we need to do.
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
All right, my dear. So before we close, do you have any other questions for me that you were hoping to get answered?
You know, yeah, I do. So I'm thinking about something in particular that kind of keeps coming up for me. It's like, it's hard for me to hold, the dual reality of, you know, this is the situation, this is reality, and I can accept it, but not like agree with it. Does that make sense? You know, to bring me peace. Because there's things like, for instance, like I am on this journey for me, which is huge. I mean, and, you know, sometimes I feel like everybody in my life that I want to understand that doesn't. And that's very like hurtful to me. So I just need to be able to say, you know, I can love my family unconditionally, even if they don't understand what I'm going through.
Yeah. I mean, let's say this. Don't task yourself with loving your family unconditionally. It's too big. And right now it's too much of a trigger.
Yeah.
How about just say, I can accept the current moment.
Yeah.
You know, like I look sometimes at my family life, and sometimes I feel suffocated by the amount of people in my home, especially during quarantine, or the amount of responsibility of having 5 children. And so I'll allow myself in that moment to feel the resentment, to feel the anger, to feel the grief, to feel the sadness, because it's just a little kid inside of us feeling that. It's our most primitive self when we really feel those base emotions of fear and terror and anxiety. And so say, okay, I feel upset this morning that my family doesn't understand me, that I still feel alone.
Yeah.
And I understand that if it's hysterical, it's historical, which means that what I'm feeling is not just about today. It's about today and many, many years of, even with their best intentions, still not helping me to feel less alone. And so I'm just going to be with that.
Yeah. Makes sense.
You know, peace is not perfection. Peace is just when we stop fighting everything and everyone.
Wow. Yeah. I think that's been a part of my problem, is I'm always fighting, you know, to try to get something that doesn't really exist, honestly.
Right. So I want you to play with acceptance and start feeling how it allows your nervous system to let down when, instead of trying to make something other than it is, you just say, wow. So that's exactly as it is. Okay. Yeah. I don't like it. But that's how it is. It's just a piece. That's peace. And I think when we stop expecting it to be like perfection and like us feeling like high or something, it's not like
right.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, it has been such a pleasure to get to know you a little bit, Clara. Thank you so much for coming on Real Time Heal.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I have so enjoyed being here and talking to you. And now I'm just looking forward to, you know, moving forward further in this work.
Absolutely. All right, guys, for everyone out there, I hope that you enjoyed our conversation and you got something out of that for you. And if you're enjoying this podcast, if you could jump over to iTunes and rate and review it, it's so important. Look how Clara found this podcast. She was just chilling out on iTunes, typed in chronic pain, and there it came up. That's what we do for people when we rate and review the podcast, because that is how it gets into the top of the search. There's a lot of things that have chronic pain involved in them, but the reason that it comes up is because people rate and review it for real. And I know that because at the beginning, when there were no rate and reviews because it was new, people would type chronic pain and it wouldn't even come up. So thank you guys for being part of the solution. And this has been Real Time Heal. And until next time, this is Nicole Sachs with The Cure for Chronic Pain. See you then. Bye-bye.